This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Heli Expo in Orlando, Florida. We're with Jim Hardy. He had a choice back in 2002. He could leave an expensive military helicopter behind and try to walk out from behind enemy lines in Afghanistan, or he could fly it out with no oil in the transmission. Was not an easy choice to make. Tell us what you did there, Jim.
It pretty much stems back from anger management and from watching celebratory type actions on aircraft that were shot down in Somalia. And after Stu and Keith's airplane was shot in the left-hand side with a rocket-propelled grenade and several small arms rounds, it actually depleted the transmission oil supply. And so I found a little wadi for Keith and Stu to land in. We did a quick assessment of the aircraft, and once we determined that there was no oil in it, we took the six quarts that from the combined two aircraft that we carried as spares, poured it in the transmission, and then I swapped aircraft with Keith, and Keith got in mine, and he's going to follow us back to our forward arming and refueling point. So once we cranked up the aircraft, after Stu had called me a lot of names I can't repeat for my mother's sake, we got in the aircraft and headed back towards the FARP. Once we cranked the aircraft up, we watched the transmission fluid drain from it. And at that point in time, we actually just started the clock because we had heard the wives tale that it had 30 minutes to fly as a dry run capability. So we opted to actually fly the airplane back. It actually had damage to the fuel cells, to the main rotor blade, had damage to the through the cockpit, the ALQ-144, engine nacelle, nose gearbox. So the airplane was shot up pretty good, but the significant portion of all of that was that there was no oil in the transmission. But after the actions of September the 11th, there was absolutely no way that we were going to leave, in our mind, the most lethal helicopter in the world on the battlefield for people to celebrate or to claim that they had shot it down. So that was, one of the portions in the thought process is that they've shot everything that they have at that aircraft, and they really couldn't bring it down. So it was hopefully, it was a morale victory, if nothing else, that they had thrown everything that they had in their most lethal weapons, and they couldn't bring our aircraft down. So that was our mini victory out of the whole thing.
Now, the transmission on an Apache helicopter, and really on any helicopter, is a very complex, very sophisticated, and very, very important piece of equipment. Tell us what the transmission does on an Apache.
You're right. The transmission is actually the heart of the aircraft, and without it, attached to the accessory gearbox, you have the two hydraulic pumps, and if you lose the hydraulic pumps, or you lose hydraulic fluid going to your servos, which are the flight controls. So you can imagine flying without flight controls. The generators actually run off of that also. So you've got two generators. You lose both of them. The main gear shaft runs through the top of it, which makes the big fan on the top turn. So, and then on the back side of that, you've got the tail rotor drive shaft is coming off the accessory gearbox also. So if you lose the transmission, you have the flying characteristics of a greased manhole cover. So it's not a situation that's enviable for anybody. So,
was that transmission torn down? What did it look like inside?
Actually, that is one of the things that we did. We did an Army form called a 2028, and we got a little bit busy, so we didn't follow it as closely as we really wanted to. But from what I was told, the transmission went back to Corpus Christi, and it was tore down for analysis. And there's literally no damage done to the transmission. And that's after the 26 minutes that I was in the aircraft as a dry run. Now, the crew that had it before me, they probably had a few minutes of dry run on it. And then after I hit the ground or landed, we actually had some more dry running on it. So that was not part of the time sequence. And then once we hit the ground there, we filled it up with fluid and disconnected the it's got a temperature sensor on the side of it. That's a one-way check valve for going to the oil cooler. So we disconnected that and bypassed the oil cooler. And then we flew the aircraft another hour and a half back to our home base at Bagram.
Well, thanks very much for your time today, Jim. Russ Niles reporting from Heli Expo in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.